Good afternoon. It's so good to be here. Lord told me just before I walked out of my office, he said, I give you the most important jobs to do. And this is one of them. I think that is so cool, Lord. You know how people cry out all the time, oh God, I want to be included in your purposes at a higher level. It can't be at a higher level than what you're doing. Because nothing that Jesus does, like Jesus praying for the sick, is not higher level than Jesus talking to your friend on the telephone. It's not the nature of the activity, it's the origin of the activity that makes it special. Amen. And if it's Christ doing it, stepped on the hem of my dress. You know, one of the interesting things about having a real passion for holiness, which is, of course, you have because you're in union with Christ, and so he has a passion to manifest his purity through you. Having a passion for the anointing and all those kind of things, the enemy can use those very things to trip you up because he can put you under guilt and you start counting, start comparing yourself to others, you know, wanting to be like them instead of letting Christ be like who he is through you. Doesn't mean that people can't encourage us and inspire us in terms of their walk with the Lord, but in terms of assignments and those kind of things, you know, God gives you the most important jobs of all. What is that? Whatever it is you're supposed to do next. Because that's what Jesus is doing, and it's the most important thing he's ever done. Amen. So again, in John 5, you know, what I just do, I just get with the Lord, and I'm using John as my time, devotional time. It may be the last thing I do in my lifetime, because we may be in this for years, but if he speaks something to me, then we're still going to hang out in that section. And so this morning as I was praying, hanging out with the Lord, he just spoke from that verse 25, particularly in verse 26, and it just kind of blew me away. Something so simple but obvious. This is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. All the commandments that I'm commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you, to know what's in your heart, whether you would be obedient or not. And he humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God created us to live in intimate fellowship with him, the most intimate kind of fellowship. He created us to live in union with him. And in the fall of man, God's solution that he had already prepared for, because it didn't take him by surprise, is that he would accomplish that permanently by placing humanity in the person of Christ. So that in Christ, we could have the closest kind of fellowship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. We could participate in the perichoresis, the dance of the Trinity. And we carry that around with us every day, which is amazing. And so obviously, therefore, if you and I were created to have that kind of intimacy with God, intimate relationship, that kind of nearness, then hearing his voice would be important, because at the heart of all relationships is communication. You know, as a person who's done a lot of counseling in my life, and then being married to a counselor, and we used to talk to people all the time about their relationships with each other, we would always talk to them about their relationship in terms of communication. Every healthy marriage has good communication. Every healthy relationship has good communication. And so at the heart of our fellowship with him is communicating with him. And so God says it really clearly. He says, it's so important, since we were created for intimacy with him, for relationship with him, it's so important that we understand that we live by the words that are proceeding out of the mouth of God. That's what sustains, that's what energizes us and sustains us with life. But it's the life of God. The thing I love about Moses, it said about Moses, that God used to speak to Moses mouth to mouth. And the word there would be, if you translate it in Hebrew, would be like mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. He would breathe into him. It would said face-to-face, but it's really the mouth-to-mouth. And God would speak to him, and the things he spoke to him breathed life into him. And so our being able to hear God's voice is imperative. We talked about this some last week because James 2 says there's only two kinds of wisdoms that people operate from, two kinds of thought life, two kinds of ways of seeing things and therefore deducing things and concluding things and handling things. There's only two kinds of wisdom, that which is from above, which is coming from above, and that word there, coming, is present tense, that which is always coming from above, and that which is earthly and fleshly, demonic. So you have to understand that everything that you do in life, every decision that you make, every conversation that you have, every reaction to a person, every way that you behave, has its origin either from hearing the voice of God or operating from the flesh, which is being influenced by the demonic. Huh? Wow. So when we talk about things like Jesus doesn't complain ever, it's because Jesus always operates from the wisdom that comes from above. And when we're in union with him, hearing his voice, he's always going to be speaking that kind of thing to us, anti-complaining. And when we do complain, it's not just flesh, it's demonic, and it brings death. It is death, and it brings death, because his words bring life and we transmit life. In John chapter 6, this is a familiar one. We will eventually be in John chapter 6. Verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. So now back to what Father Bracken read. Verse 25, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. Now, when I was reading that verse this morning, I thought, well, Lord, I have been, as a pastor, with a lot of people at their bedside when they died. And not one of them heard a word I said when I talked to them after they had died. Dead people can't hear anything in the natural. They can't. You know, when I remember when Livia died, and there were just words of affection even after she died, in the moments after she died. But that person, those ears there, she could hear me, but that person in that body no longer could hear me. Dead people can't hear you. But then when I realized what he's saying, truly, truly, and again, truly, truly means really, really important, important, okay? Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. The voice of Christ carries life. It's not about him, dead people hearing him. It's that the voice of Christ creates life. So he's talking about the spiritually dead here, but the voice of Jesus carries life. And so every time we operate from the wisdom that comes from above, every time as you've learned to hear the voice of the Lord, as you've learned to practice his presence, you're in union with him. And so at all times, you've got one ear to what's going on around you, and you've got these ears to that, and the ears of your heart. You know, Jesus said, who has ears to hear? We have the eyes of our heart, the ears of our heart. The eyes of our heart, the ears of our heart are tuned into him. And so it's like you're carrying on two conversations at the same time. And so Jesus said he only did those things he saw the Father doing. So life wasn't happening so fast that Jesus just reacted to stuff. Oops, whoops, I missed. I didn't take enough time to see what you were doing. There's a relationship of union to where you're just seeing that. Jesus says, as I hear, I discern. As I hear, I make decisions. As I hear, I see things clearly. As I hear, I speak, because I do nothing on my own initiative. And so I know we've all done this. I've done this. Said, gosh, it just happened so fast. It just kind of came out of me. But there's a place in union with Christ to where you're hearing so clearly, because we live by the words that proceed out of the mouth of God. God is a yakking God. Because my every moment of living carrying life, transmitting life, is dependent on him. I mean, Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, his name is Word. That means he's a communicator. And you know, the word logos isn't just about sound or word, it's logic. Jesus is the word that reveals the logic of God. So you see, to him, when we use the word complain, for me to complain is illogical to him because that's not what he does ever. And it carries death to us and death to others or any other thing that we might want to use, criticize or whatever, gossip or whatever. And so his sheep hear his voice. And so his words carry life. So for me to hear over there, you know, I didn't need to repent. I didn't, when he said that, you know, oh, I was not looking forward to coming because I didn't think this was a very important group because it wasn't thousands of people. You with me? He just spoke that to me. It was just revealing his heart to me. And because it just brought such life, he said, I always give you the most important things to do. Oh, that is so cool because this is one of the most important things to Jesus. We have Lazarus weekend coming up next weekend. As far as I know, we have five. We have six, and I bet you there's going to be a couple more because I think the Lord gave me a number. But we can do as many as 12, 13, something like that. We have squeezed them in when we do. But when Karen and I were talking about this a couple weeks ago, this was a place I had to repent because I don't usually do this. Karen said five. I said, well, you know, we used to have a rule that if you didn't have eight, we weren't going to go through. And Karen was the one who held me accountable. And I love the way Karen talks to me. So sweet and gentle. She goes, we're doing ladders.
Yeah.
If there's only five. And then so after that, I was talking to the Lord. The Lord said, of course we're doing this. I'm looking more forward to this. It's the most important one we've ever done. That's just the truth. He gives us just the most important things to do, doesn't he? Because he would have died for just one person. So I saw my friend today. I was going to leave. When I was leaving today, I couldn't decide whether I wanted to wear something warmer than Clerics. But I thought, no, I'm going to wear my black stuff. And I don't always wear the black stuff. I wear the purple shirt sometimes too. So I'm just going to wear the black stuff. And I went back and forth. I finally said, no, I want to wear the black stuff. So I don't know why. And I put it on, and the person's delivering something, the very person, remember the story about? And I was in my black stuff that day. And I haven't seen him since then. And so when he gets out of the car, he said, oh, we meet again. And he tried to start in again. He said, so what are you doing? You're going to a funeral? Oh, I said, because of my stuff? I said, no, I said, I wear this so I can talk to people about Jesus and pray for people like you. And he says, you're not praying for me. I said, well, yeah, of course I am. You can't stop me. He said, yeah, but there's no God to hear you. And I said, you know why I met you the other day? Because God brought you. Because he wanted me to pray for you, John. And I said, I pray for you every day. So you don't pray for me, it doesn't do any good. I said, I'm so grateful that God brought you into my life so I can pray for you. That's frustrating for him. But it was interesting that I was wearing the same stuff, and the Lord did that. Living by the words that proceed out of the mouth of God. Him saying, I always give you the most important things to do. Living by the words that proceed out of the mouth of God. That's one of the reasons I say those things. Like, I don't have time to be in a hurry. I have to listen, and I can do life, and Jesus will speak if I'm willing. Never ever tell Jesus, never ever tell another human being, that's just the way I am. I've always been like that. Well, you just said, I've always been demonic because I've always operated in the flesh, and I still do, and that's what I'm planning on keeping doing. Not a very smart thing to say because that's not the way Jesus is or ever has been. His words give life. So we learn to listen and live by the words that are proceeding out of the one whose very name is Word. And it says in Revelation 1 that when Jesus spoke, it says that John turned to the voice. Not to the sound, but he referred to Christ as the voice. The dead can hear his voice and come to life because his voice carries life to that which might be naturally decaying. I still live in this fallen humanity. There's a pull towards sin, but there's a greater pull towards Christ-likeness. And it's his voice that carries that. Amen. Amen. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.